Good morning. How many people went to the wedding last night? One of you. So the one who are absent probably left the wedding maybe past midnight. I left around 10 because by 10 o'clock I'm falling asleep. But some of you, you know, I check on the Facebook, on the live thing, and you are on the after inside, and then you go out the parking lot, and you have look like you have another party. And at that time, it's already past 11 o'clock. We live in the world of different generation. And some of you, last week, when I talked to some of the Z generation back from college, look like emotional, exhausted. Spiritual perspective look like distracted, and some of the young people are quietly hurting. Many of you still in high school, some of you still in high school, battle with anxiety. Some of you in this room probably still so. Some of you insecurity and pressure try to fit in. And that is the issue high school have to deal with. Some of you young professional feel trapped in the cycle of performance, comparison. Am I good enough to compare to my co-worker? And sometimes get burned out because of that pressure. But some of you are also young married couple with a small children, often sometimes feel overwhelmed by financial pressure, emotional exhaustion, and parenting stress. I got a couple phone calls from last week. Some of the young couple with small children look like stress a lot. And one thing I recognize, some of the young family lack of time with God, and sometimes lack of time with each other. And not only that, some of you, just like I check on Facebook, and I saw like 71 people read whatever on Facebook and YouTube and all of that. Social media also constantly whispers to the people today, they are not good enough. And that's the issue we have to face. And the pressure say, oh, we have to be succeed. I did some counsel, I told you before, one of the students go to Houston Christian University. Cheat in the final test. Why this person doing that? Because the pressure, maybe from the parent, maybe from people around them. So when the people under that kind of pressure, from spiritual perspective, they may begin to hiding from God instead of running to God. Some people secretly spiritual inconsistency, okay? And maybe some people come to the church, and now I'm talking about people come to church, not only just English ministry worship, but also the Vietnamese. They may smile outwardly while inside of them, they ask the question, can God still love the person like me? And that's why John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, John, he wrote, my little children, this thing I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the whole world. So this morning, we're going to discover three things, like I call it life-changing truth. First, sin is serious. Secondly, grace is greater than our failures or sin. Third, Jesus Christ is our advocate. This truth can completely change the way we see ourselves, the way we see our struggle, and the way we see our relationship with God, and even to each other. So let's go to background of 1 John. When John, he wrote this letter to the believer, and this believer faced confusion and false teaching. So 1,000 years ago, the Christian faced the same issue like today, time. Some people were teaching that, oh, sin did not matter. Holiness was unnecessary. And spiritual truth was flexible. Some of you last night talked to me in the wedding, want to learn about apologetics. And I'm thinking about it, and hopefully after the website, then we will begin to upload something. It's just like, is that true? Is it real truth or the fake truth? Maybe that's the first thing you need to think about or need to learn about. So throughout the letters, he repeatedly emphasized walking in the light, confessing and abiding in Christ, loving one another, and having assurance of salvation. When I read John, especially the first letter, John, he wrote like the spiritual father, speaking tenderly to hurted children. Notice how he began the letter. My little children. So this is not just the cold theology, but this is pastoral love. So if you read John, okay, the letter John, with the thinking like the spiritual father, you would learn completely different lesson from him, rather than just thinking about just theology alone. Point number one, sin is serious, but God does not call us to live in defeat. He understands sin is serious, but we cannot just, like, as a loser, even when we make mistakes. He said, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Christianity does not minimize sin. It happened. We understand it, but cannot let sin destroy the peace, the relationship, our own identity about marriage and fellowship with God. What we understand, sin sometimes, if we understand it wrongly or falsely, it may promise freedom, but eventually it produces slavery. It leads the person into slavery. So many young people today normalize, I call it, spiritual compromise. Because they may say, everybody watch it, nothing wrong with it. Everybody lie, so I do a little bit lie, it's okay. Couple months ago in the Vietnamese congregation, the middleman, he had a problem of pornography. He hid from his wife, from the church, from the people around him for such a long time. Finally, he recognized that thing everybody watch, pornography on the computer, eventually mess up his marriage. So he had a lot of strange thinking. But praise the Lord, he realized when he read chapter two here. He recognized he need to run to God, confess his sin. And he confessed his mistake or his addiction to his wife. And through the counseling, they reconcile. And he stand in front of the church, share the message, how he get in and how he get out. So it's happened. Okay? Everybody has thing online. Long time ago, you had to buy the magazine, but now it go directly to your computer or even your iPhone or smartphone. And it happened. Hiding sin slowly hardened the heart because it break away from God. For example, some of you have iPhone, right? And the iPhone had a battery in there. Even you not even use it for a couple of days, suddenly the level of your battery is going down. Why? Because behind the smartphone, there's some app it run from the background. It drain the battery. The same thing, the same way, hidden sin, his sin slowly drain spiritual joy, peace, emotional health, and even sensitivity to God, until the people I call it spiritually numb. And a lot of people, even young people, secretly struggle with pornography and even online temptation. Some of the young professionals exhausted from pretending to have everything together. But reality is may not. Okay? Some young couple are drifting emotionally because the stress replaced the prayer and the survival replaced intimacy with your spouse. It happened. Some of the believers grow up, let's just say, in immigrant, in the family speak two languages. The parents speak Vietnamese or Philippine language. Okay, and the children speak English, and somehow along the way, the communication or the understanding get disconnected. And they understand the communication is very, very difficult, but they hide. They learn to hide the pain instead of expressing it. But remember, John, he reminds us, hiding sin never heals sin. Psalm 32 verse 3 said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old. Psalm 32 verse 3. So the Bible teaches that sin is not merely bad behavior. Sin is rebellion against God. That reason why when Paul he wrote the letter to the church of Romans, especially chapter 3, verse 23, he talked, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember, he said, not just few people, but all people. So it can be me and you in this room. So the great danger with me, the greatest danger is not struggle with sin. The greatest danger is becoming comfortable with sin. That's the greatest danger. Okay? But we are the Christian, not simply just got the message about sin. Just like this morning, you listen to me or you read the Bible. It is a message about our Savior. So point number two, talking about grace is greater than our failures when we understand ourselves. John said, if And if anyone sins, okay? You notice John, he does not say, oh, if you are weak Christian, you fail. He didn't say that. He said, if anyone sins. So God already knows, believer, me and all of you struggle. God understands that. This verse not encourage sin, but give hope to the struggle of believers. It can be include me and all of you. Many believers today love Jesus. I recognize that. Okay? I love Jesus. Many people believe that, but feel defeated by repeated failures. They pray. Any one of you pray? They pray, and then they fail. Okay? And then they pray again. They fail again. Okay? And if it keeps repeat like that, eventually the shame, especially Asian folks, okay, shame ourselves, shame because family, or maybe the church, shame coming in. And that shame whisper, you are fake. You are not real Christian. You are fake Christian. Because if you're not fake Christian, you pray, God answer. But how you pray and then you fail, and then you pray again, you fail again. And that confusion will whisper to your ear, maybe you are not a real Christian. Maybe you are a fake Christian. Or maybe God probably tired of you. That will get into the mind. And hey, you probably never change. You are what you are. So get pulled away from God through that whisper. But the gospel says, grace is greater than your failures. One of the most beautiful things about gospel doctrine is justification. When we trust in Christ, God declares us righteous because of Jesus, not because of our own perfection. And that's the doctrine of justification. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. Your salvation does not rest on perfect performance, emotional consistency, or your flawless obedience. Your salvation rests on Jesus Christ. As long as you remember that, you can overcome up everything. Imagine some of you had a kid, children. I had a slide up there too. When the toddler learned how to walk, and some of you had small children, they fail, or they fall repeatedly. But what happened to the father? When the father saw the children or the toddler fall down, the father does not say, oh, you fell once, leave my family, get out of here, you're no longer my children. No, what exactly the father did. The father would lift the child again and encourage, okay, try one more time, but fail again. Fall down again. And the father would pick up the child and say, one more time. Okay, you okay? I'm right here to help you. And that's how God treats his children. Okay? So some of the people, probably not you, but some of the older folks in the Vietnamese side, carry the shame from past relationship. Or maybe happen in your group too. Or sometimes they shame because it happened. Abortion, guilt. Addiction, it happened. Hidden depression, Family wounds. Something happened family. The church hurt. Loneliness. Fear of failures. So that shame pushes people away from God. But remember, grace pulls the sinner back to God. Just remember that. And that's what they call justification, the doctrine of justification. John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. So confession is not weakness. Confession to God is the doorway to healing. The cross. Every Sunday, or even in the wedding last night or yesterday, you know, there is a cross. The cross proves your worst sin is not stronger than God, Christ. So come to Him. Come to the cross. But how can the Holy God forgive a guilty person like us without ignoring justice? When we study about God, it's at one hand His love, but another hand He's just. So how can the Holy God forgive the guilty person like us without ignoring justice? That leads us to the heart of the message which John tried to communicate. Point number 3, Jesus Christ is our advocate. John said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The word advocate, if you check the dictionary, it means defender, helper, or one who stands on behalf of another. So when believers, just like me and you, fail, Jesus would not abandon us. He not abandon me or you. Jesus stands before the Father as our righteous advocate. Not because we deserve it, but because He already paid for our sin. Verse 2, if you read, He Himself is the propitiation for our sin. What exactly does it mean? It means Jesus satisfied the anger or the wrath of God against sin through His death on the cross. Jesus did not just inspire us. He substituted Himself for us on the cross. He took our punishment. So instead of take the punishment, He took that in punishment for us. He carried our sin and He bore our shame. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 said, He was wounded for our transgression. So imagine with me, how many of you already go to court or stand in front of the church? Any traffic tickets? Okay, or me? Okay. Yeah, I have experienced a couple of times. Okay, but I'm on the witness side for that. So just imagine with me you standing in court completely guilty. Okay, completely guilty. The evidence is so, is undeniable. It's just so obvious. Then suddenly someone innocent stepping forward and say, I will take the punishment for them of for you. That's exactly what Jesus did at the cross. We're not worthy, but He took for us. So many young people today struggle with identity because the social media say, oh, you, your worth depends on your appearance, your success, your approval. You know, did you read the on the news lately? One person go to another country, spend a lot of money, change appearance, probably this person not pleased with appearance, so go to the country and get the face fixed. When they get back to America, go through the custom. Now, you know, you go through whatever the camera, they not recognize this face. Because not the body is like one image, and this face is just completely different. So get stuck at the airport or whatever the guy coming in. So I had to take this person to the separate room and, you know, check the passport, the ID, and look at the face. It not match. Okay? And it happened. The story didn't, I didn't read the detail how this person get out through the gate. Okay, I didn't read that section. But I picked this story because of young people, sometimes, because of the appearance, lack the pressure for that. And seek for approval. Okay? I already told you before when I counseled at the University of Houston, Houston Christian University called me because I have a relationship with them, especially the immigrant, you know, the Vietnamese family. So Con said, Hongson, we have this Vietnamese student, can you come and counsel? So I come to counsel. It turned out to be because the pressure of the parent, try to please the parent. So I had to figure out how to talk to the parent. Okay, and try to reconcile the family dynamic. So it happened. Okay. The anxiety, the worst mistake. Oh, by the way, this person, you know, when they cheat on the test, on her record from the freshman year to junior year, completely wiped out. Okay? And she depressed. Her parent depressed. Her parent is a deacon of the church. It's not our church, but another church. I had a meeting and talk. And this I'm encouraged, okay? The record already wiped out, start from zero. Number one, don't just jump on your kid and make mistake, understand it. Okay, they're the good kid, they make a mistake. So pray and encourage and maybe go to another school, trade school. And this person come out good. I follow up with the parent and this kid, they come out good. But remember, if you belong to Christ, you are forgiven, you're loved, you're redeemed, accepted, and you are adopted to the family of God. Young couple with the small children often feel emotional drain. I don't know about you, when I was young with the two young kids, emotional drain, spiritual dry, disconnected from each other. Okay, sometimes I wonder if they are failing as a parent. But spiritual healthy family are not perfect family. Remember that, not perfect family. They are families that are keep returning to Jesus together. Not just one parent with young children come to Jesus together. Jesus is not waiting to destroy struggling believers. He's standing to defend those who belong to him. Just remember that. The gospel is simple. We are sinners separated from God. The wage of sin is death. But God loving us, John 3:16, probably you already memorized, for God so loved the world. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, and he rose again so we can receive what? Forgiveness, eternal life. Salvation is not earned through religion. It is received through faith in Jesus Christ. As long as you have that foundation, you will be okay. As the parent with small children, young professional under the pressure of work, or even the Z generation in college right now. So maybe this morning, if you are spiritual tired, if you are emotional numb, and if you are ashamed of hidden sin, or if you are disconnected to God, or even struggle secretly, listen carefully, because this message for you. Jesus Christ is still calling you. He not push away you from him, but he tried to call you, pull you back to him. Make sure you're doing that. And remember that you do not have to clean yourself, have to be perfect, come to Christ. You come to Christ because you need cleansing, because you need him to do that. So if you have that struggle this morning, you can pray like this. Let's close your eye and bow your head. And some of you listen through broadcasting, you can do it so. You may pray, Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising again. This morning, I place my faith in you. Forgive me, cleanse me, heal me, and become the Lord of my life. Help me walk with you and live in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian life, you and I, not pretend to be perfect. It is trusting a perfect Savior like Jesus Christ. Yet, yes, sin is serious, but grace is greater. So this morning, I encourage you, every struggle believer can rest on this truth, Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father, that Jesus Christ, the righteousness. You probably, or sometimes you may fail in life, but that failure is not the final word. Jesus Christ does. Grace is not permission to sin. Grace is a power to help you, to put you back to God. Gospel is not for perfect people. It is for the broken people who need a perfect Savior like Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ died on the cross to make people religions. He died to bring the people just like you and I back to the Father. Let us stand up. So I have closing prayer and do the benediction. Dear God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thank you for your word to make sure we have faith deep rooted in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And when the struggle or when something happens, we know how to run back to you. And you are the advocate, you are the lawyer, defend us. Please help us to live truthfully, obediently, and walk with you every day of life. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all the people, all God's children in this room, from now and forever. Amen.